Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening. A sunny one for a change. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, a new poll of small businesses finding surprising results on their views of the importance of taxes and regulation, which are far from their frontline concerns. We'll talk about that. And the movie Contagion, bringing the fears of a deadly pandemic back up for discussion. I'll be talking to an expert on outbreak preparedness to find out what we could be in for. But first, the president unveiling his deficit reduction plan yesterday, and surprise, surprise, it includes tax increases. That's $1.5 trillion of new revenue that will mostly come from taxes on corporations and the country's wealthiest. After what we saw in the debt ceiling debate, is there any point in moving this plan forward? To talk about that, I'm joined by 7th District Republican U.S. Congressman Mark Wahlberg. Thank you for joining me, Congressman Wahlberg.
Well, I wish I were Mark Wahlberg. I'd probably be making a lot more money, wouldn't I?
Indeed. Tim Wahlberg, I'm sorry about that. So let me ask you, Tim, this plan, is this essentially a DOA here? I mean, I know that you and other Republicans have said absolutely no new taxes. He's proposing taxes in the plan. Is it going to go nowhere?
Well, the taxes will go nowhere, I believe. I think the House is resolute that we've said all along that our efforts are to encourage economy, to encourage job providers, to encourage the middle-income bracket with an economy that grows jobs and provides them a sustainable income that they can do what they want with their families and grow, and that that didn't come with a tax increase. It never has, and in our minds, it never should. I wouldn't say the president's plan is totally dead on arrival. There were a number of things in his speech that when we heard things like regulatory reform, reducing unnecessary job-hurting regulatory issues. I certainly can support that when he indicated that he was wanting to reform Medicare to make sure it saved Medicare and protected those on it. I certainly could support that. And if indeed he comes out with those plans and in a way that we can work together on, I'm certainly supportive of it. But to raise taxes in a time, in fact, after the pattern of what he said back in 2009, that in a time of recession, you don't normally raise taxes, and that's why we won't raise taxes. Now that's all changed.
Well, a new New York Times CBS poll found that President Obama is down to a 43% approval rating, while Congress has a stunning 12% approval rating. The public clearly unhappy with the debt ceiling debate and the complete lack of compromise in Washington. Now, will you and your Republican colleagues take a different approach to the president's deficit reduction plan and find some middle ground? Because he's not likely to completely take some tax increases off the table, is he?
Well, he's going to have to, because frankly, we're not going to go with tax increases. That hurts the economy. Remember, Mike, I think you and your listeners in a great majority realize that the problem in Washington is not a revenue problem, it's a spending problem. The priorities of spending for too long here have been to spend on everything and not say no to anything. That has to change. We have to get back on track and understanding the federal government is only responsible for the things the Constitution says. We've taken on responsibilities that document never had for us, and we've forced states into predicaments and mandates that have given them problems as well. I think it's time to return the money to where it does the best, and that's the individual citizens, small business, job providers, and the states to make those determinations.
What about loopholes? We see these tax rates completely changed by these enormous loopholes that corporations and America's wealthiest take advantage of. Why are these not being targeted for removal?
I think we're certainly willing to look at loopholes. I think the Republicans would overwhelmingly agree with a flatter, more controlled, decreased tax structure that spreads it fairly across the board, that gives opportunities for job providers to expand and individuals to control their own incomes for the best interests of their families. So, yeah, I mean, if we're talking about loopholes that will produce, by eliminating them, will produce a flatter, fairer, more efficient tax structure that gives more power to the individual and the locals, We're willing to do that. I'm certain of that. But that's not what the president is talking about.
I'm talking to 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, let me ask you then, how is this debate and this plan going to look different than what we saw in the debt ceiling debate, which went on forever and looked like it was never going to be resolved to the last minute? Are we going to see any kind of a different pattern this time?
Well, I don't know. It remains to be seen what will take place. We do know that the founders and framers of our way of life, our government, our Constitution, intended for our government to move very slowly because they didn't want to see a lot of change. They wanted to protect the freedoms and the simplicity of a Republican form of democracy. And it's generally worked. And at times it's been messier than others. But nonetheless, it has still worked, and I think it'll do the same thing here. As we move forward, it remains to be seen where we can compromise. There are those of us that believe we cannot compromise in the foundational, fundamental principles of our Republican form of democracy. That's a limited government approach. It isn't to go for more spending, and it isn't to go for more taxation, but to reduce spending, reduce the overall size, scope, and cost of government, and to reduce unnecessary regulations that are killing jobs. Mm-hmm. We've got to produce jobs, and then you and I both know, Mike, as we've seen in Michigan at times, when we did that, and we right-sized government, And we allowed the right sizing of the private sector to grow. Michigan turned around and grew. We can grow the same thing we can do in the United States.
Okay, but if we see the jobs plan, the deficit reduction plan stall and fail to go nowhere, won't that really mean for most Americans that we're going to be worse off if we continue to be locked into the stalemate between you and other Republicans in the House and the president?
No, I don't think necessarily that's the case. I read a wonderful article by a noted economist, Thomas Sowell, who indicated that the best impact upon our government right now and our economy would be for government to do nothing. In our history, those times when government steps in and finally does something because they've been forced and pushed and cajoled into it, things, in fact, get worse. In most cases, when we do nothing and let the economy roll, let the markets work, let the private sector find a way themselves to grow the economy, it happens. And I think that's why we're saying with the bills we've already passed, and Mike, I think the president has to look the same way we do and say, wait a second, the House has passed numerous bills to promote jobs, promote energy, to promote a spending reduction, to save Medicare and reform it. Those are sitting over in the Senate right now. If he wants, as he said in his speech, pass this bill and pass it right now, well, we put, at least according to his language, we put those bills to a great degree over in the Senate. Why don't they tackle those, tell us where they disagree on us, and then we can begin to negotiate based on those principles. So there can be a common ground, but I think the president has to look at that common ground and compromise as well, because this House has passed those bills and they sit in the Senate.
I want to change subjects. You know, the tentative contract has now been agreed upon between the UAW and GM. The Treasury Department now has gotten back about half of the $50 billion it used to rescue GM. But the government continues to own more than a quarter of the company. Isn't it now clear that the bailout of GM and Chrysler by the government was indeed the right move?
No, I don't think so. I think the right move was to let the bankruptcy take place, which it did. I mean, the federal government came in and loaned to bail out, but nonetheless, it still resulted in the bankruptcy. I think, as we saw with Delta Airlines and other major corporations that have gone through bankruptcies in the private sector, they ultimately worked out a solution. Delta, I just flew in on that, arrived tonight. It's going strong. I think Ford has shown that doing the right things beforehand would make a company strong and innovative. And I think GM and Chrysler, had they gone through a private sector bankruptcy rather than a public sector bankruptcy, I think could have put more on the table to restructure. Now, I think it's going to work. I think ultimately Chrysler and GM will come out of this. Hopefully, the taxpayer will be paid back not with their money, but with earnings that come from GM and Chrysler, and will be all to the good again. And because they've done some structural changes, because some of the work rules and legacy costs have been taken out now, that will produce a stronger, I hope, stronger and better GM and Chrysler. But I contend that had it been done with the private sector approach, the same thing would have happened, and maybe even more so, allowing more on the table to be restructured.
But now, wouldn't that, though, have caused a more difficult bankruptcy and it had potentially devastating impacts on the Michigan's economy?
No, I don't think so. I really think, you know, again, they went through bankruptcy. They went through bankruptcy, and they are now coming out of it. The same thing could have taken place, and I think with a greater structural change to give them maybe even a quicker turnaround, the same thing would have happened, but it would not have been funded by taxpayers, and it would not have allowed anything to be kept off the table from restructuring. Now, I guess right now we'll never know it, will we? So I'm delighted that Chrysler, you know, I drive Chrysler products. I have a GM product as well. I'm glad to see them turn it around, but I don't think we can say unequivocally that this was the best way of doing it and it only would work this way. Now, let's turn the economy around. That's what I want to do so that GM, Chrysler, Ford, and any other corporation and small businesses in the country has an opportunity to succeed without going into bankruptcy and can do it on their own and provide jobs and people can work and creativity can abound and this economy can become the greatest economy in the world again.
I see. Well, that is certainly a great hope, and I'm sure we all agree with that. And I guess we'll see how things unfold here as we approach these plans the president has presented. It should be interesting to see how they get negotiated in Washington. 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg, thank you very much for joining me.
I appreciate it, and America is a great country because of its people, and we will make it.
All right, excellent.